Please stand for the reading of our gospel from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. This is the word of the Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. So, nothing changes. Everything remains the same. That's not true. Everything changes. The only thing that doesn't change in life is God. There is no shadow of turning with God. And you know what? There are people who say, well, you know, society, we've learned new things and discovered new stuff, and science knows more, and medicine, and so God's word is flexible and it changes. Well, it doesn't. There is no shadow of turning with God. What God said thousands and thousands of years ago still goes today. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "Well, this is enough for now. Tune in later." He said, "It is finished." And so everything changes. You know, we see the mountains in the distance, and they were that way when we were kids, and they look the same to us today. But you know what? They've changed. They've eroded. The wind and the water and temperatures have changed them. Metal, that jewelry and all that stuff fades, and it, even if it's microscopic, even if it's infinitesimal, everything changes somehow or another. You know, it's just part of the decay of life. And as much as we hate change, we can't stop it. Change is inevitable. It's going to come whether we like it or not. So what is it that changes us? First, it's age. You know, we aren't getting any younger. Age changes us. Now, you know, of course, some of us, like me and Brian, we're like a fine wine. We get better with age. So like, you know, me and Brian, we're like a fine wine. We get better with age. Okay, well, but age changes us. There's other things that change us. Education. Do we have any teachers here? Anybody teach? I'll tell you, teaching is something I would have loved to have done. You teach people to see the world differently. It changes the way they perceive things. They learn to see possibilities. And so education, it changes us. We're not the same people after we've been educated as we were before. And there are other things that change us as well. Experiences, good experiences and bad experiences. You know, you can go training for a job. It's kind of like education, boot camp, things like that. You can go to the gym. You can sculpt your body. But we can also, you know, if you go off to war, it changes you. You could be in a car wreck or get an injury. It changes you. Get a disease. You'll look at life differently. Lose a loved one, lose a job, have to move. I mean, there's all kinds of experiences in life that change us. Hit the lottery. It can change the way you look at life who you are. So there's a lot of things that change us. Again, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to come, whether we like it or not. And Jesus changed. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. But transfigured means transformed. It usually means transformed for the better. And Jesus was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. He was changed in such a way that they got to behold his glory as of the one and only begotten Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the rider on the white horse. And he glowed with a brilliance that just did not exist in the world. It was unnatural to Peter, James, and John, but they beheld his glory. They witnessed something that no other human being had ever seen. And Jesus was transfigured, but so were Peter, James, and John. They were changed forever because of what they'd seen. And when they were coming down the mountain, Jesus told them not to let anybody know. It wasn't time yet. Because what they had seen happen, what transfigured them, what changed them deep inside was the glory of God. They knew that this was otherworldly, that this was beyond the laws of nature. And they were told to keep quiet about that until Jesus was resurrected. And then the pieces of the puzzle would all come together. It was too soon to say anything because it just wouldn't fit. You know, it's after Jesus was resurrected, he appeared unto the disciples, right? Behind locked doors. Behind locked doors. All of a sudden, he appeared unto them. They were frightened, and he said, "Whoa, peace. Peace, don't be afraid." And he said, "It's me." He said, "Look at the holes in my hands. Put your hand in my side where the spear had pierced me." And he said, "It's me." And who wasn't with them? Thomas. Thomas, the disciple, wasn't with them. And so Jesus appears unto them, and they talk with him, and he leaves. A little bit later, Thomas comes in. "Hey, what's up, guys? Jesus was just here." "Yeah, right. You know he died. John saw him die on the cross. You know he's dead, and I know we've heard rumors of him, you know, floating around, but no, he was here. He came and stood among us. He didn't even come through the doors. He just all of a sudden, poof, was there. And we know it was him because he showed us the scars and the wounds that he had." Thomas says, "I won't believe it unless I see it for myself." See, the other disciples were transfigured. They were changed through their meeting with Jesus. That's when Peter and James and John get to say, "We saw his glory. We beheld his glory on the mountain. We know what this is like." And Thomas is not buying it. And then a little bit later, the disciples all meet together again behind closed doors. And poof, there's Jesus. And Jesus right away goes to Thomas and says, "Hey, come here." Thomas, "I'm not sure about this." Jesus says, "Come on, put your fingers in here, right in these holes. Put your hand in my side." He said, "It's me." And then Thomas was transfigured. He was changed from a doubter to a believer. He was on fire for the Lord. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Those are the people to whom we reach out. We have been transfigured through our salvation, through our relationship with Jesus. Like we were telling the kids, the more we hang out with one another, the more we study the scriptures, the more we worship together and praise the Lord together and pray to Jesus, the more we become like Christ. We are transfigured. We are changed. We're no longer the same. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 16. "So from now on, We regard no one from a worldly point of view. We don't look at people the same way anymore because we've met Jesus. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. We are transfigured, new creatures in Christ. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are the ones who want to introduce people to Jesus, so that when they behold Jesus, then they are transfigured through meeting Jesus. Through the things that we do and the things that we say, we have to be great imitators of Christ. We are not the ones who change people, but we are the ones who introduce people to the one who can change them, who can transfigure them. And it says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, transfigured by the love of Christ. So transfiguration. We're not to remain the same. We are to change. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come into our lives right now. Come into our heart in this moment and change us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. Anoint us and empower us. Fill us with the boldness of knowing that everything changes, and that the only change that matters is the one for Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Change is coming for everybody. And in the end, it will be either heaven or hell. The only one who can transfigure us from death to life, from decay to immortality, is Christ. No other way. It is the only way. God loves you, and so do I.